Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin with verse 12. As we have moved down chapter 13, for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, or perhaps you've been away for a while and joining the broadcast and trying to get caught up where we are, we have been working our way through this whole discussion about charity, or more accurately, agape love, in chapter 13, that Paul has described as being superior or more excellent than the spiritual gifts mentioned in chapter 12. I want you to notice, please, this is not a matter of somebody saying, well, it doesn't make any difference about them nine gifts there, starting with verse 8 in chapter 12. Love is better. I want you, please, to notice that while the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in verse 11, is described as dividing to every man severally as he will, that is, distinctly and discreetly, separately to each individual, as it is his choice, not their desire, the same God, who works all in all, has given love. We're not talking about boy-girl love. We're not talking about mommy and daddy and little baby love. We're not talking about love of country and the flag and motherhood and apple pie. We're not talking about love for brother and sister. We're talking about a different kind of love here that comes only from God, is emplaced in the heart of the believer only. This cannot be experienced by an unsaved individual. This is something that God places in the heart. This is something that God is the originator of. He is the point of origin for this. As we pointed out, the scripture that says God is love, Riff makes reference to this love. Okay? Now, we have seen in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. In speaking here, it is no stretch to see that these gifts that are mentioned in chapter 12 and will be dealt with again in chapter 14 are temporary in nature. They were essential in the formation of the church until such time as the scripture was completed, and they had to depend upon the Spirit for the means of understanding the will of God and knowing what the Word of God was going to be. For now, we see through a glass darkly, or in riddles. We don't understand. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now somebody say, well, that's talking about heaven. That's talking about when you get to heaven. Perhaps. I certainly see how it could be taken that way, but if you take it in the context of what the Bible says, we are talking about this idea of the superiority of agape love and how the temporary gifts will disappear. You will notice it says in verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, it shall be abolished. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will be abolished. Now, it says shall fail, and in the case of knowledge, shall vanish away. And yet both of these phrases are coming from the Greek construction, will be abolished. You will notice both the prophecies, the sense of individual standing up and speaking forth from the mind of God, the word and will of God, that would there would come a time when that would cease, would be abolished, it would be set aside, and God would be the one to do it. The tongues will cease. They'll stop. Why? Because there's not going to be any more need for it when that which is perfect has come. And as we pointed out, that which is perfected, completed, that which is made complete or whole, when that is brought on the scene, then that which is in part shall be done away. And we're talking about the coming and the completion of the completed revelation of God. We're talking about the Word of God. And that which is in part, these gifts, while it points out with these rhetorical questions in verse 29 and verse 30, in chapter 12. Does everyone have these gifts? No. Are all apostles? No. All prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. They did not. You see, that is what is in part. And God said, that's it. It's coming to a point in time when I'm going to do away with these things, when that which is completed comes on the scene. Now, lest we get bogged down once again here, let me go directly to verse 12 where we left off. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. To know the Word of God. Now you think about this. How well does God know you? He said, well, there's not much about me God doesn't know. Well, you could say it more directly. There's nothing about you God doesn't know. Note, please, what he says. I shall know. Can you say that you know the Word of God as well as God knows you? Now, you may fall behind a catch-all umbrella. Well, who does? You? No, I can't say that I do. At the same time, though, when I hold the Scripture in my hands, I have the completed revelation of God. Everything that God wants me to know about himself is revealed in his written word. Everything that God wanted man to know about himself is in this book. Everything that God wanted man to know about his condition is in this book. The sinful condition, the inability to help himself, the total depravity of man is in this book. And I shall know even as I also am known. You see, everything you want to know about heaven, well, perhaps not everything you want to know about heaven, is revealed in this book. But anything we know about heaven is from this book. More than you want to know, more than you will ever be comfortable knowing about hell, is in this book. How to avoid hell and how to get to heaven is in this book. My friend, why do you think I keep coming back to the title of the program? It's not just the title of the program. It's a motto to live by. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, when you know what the Bible says, then you've got the mind of Christ on something. Okay? And that's what you ought to know. We have come in Christian circles to a point where there's almost an anti-intellectual approach to the Word of God. It becomes how I feel as opposed to what the Bible says. Does it make me feel good? Is it going to make me feel all warm and fuzzy? And preaching that doesn't, I'll avoid. Teaching that doesn't, I'll avoid. That's where we are in Christianity today. This weak, anemic, hybridized contemporary Christianity is something that is contemptible when you compare it to the Christianity of a century ago, when you compare it to the kind of character that you find in these who are being martyred in India for their faith, village preachers being beaten to death with rifle butts, Christians being burned to death by village people who don't want to hear, being incited by their religious leaders. My friend, who has that kind of character, that sort of spine and backbone today in America? Well, you know, go ahead and talk out of both sides of your face. What does the Bible say? Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. ETH on the end of abide. Now habitually, now continually abiding. Now continually in the presence is faith, hope, charity. Faith and hope are not the same thing. You understand that, but they're very closely attuned, very closely intertwined. Faith is believing what God has said he'll do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Hope. Hope, on the other hand, is a joyful and confident expectation, not a wishing for something, but an expectation of something. An expectation that makes us believe God's going to do, or if we believe, if the faith is what it ought to be, then we expect to receive what God has promised. Faith goes into the heart of the matter to find out exactly what God did promise. I find there's a lot of silly people today running around saying, well, God told me he's going to do this. Where'd you get that? Well, I had a vision. I just feel, I believe in my heart. What does the Bible say? Hello? Before you go around charging up and down the countryside saying, God promised me he's going to do this, you be very careful before you say that God promised something to you and you have no substance, no ground to base that assertion on. But if it is biblical faith, and you believe what God has said, you can certainly have a confident expectation that he is going to do what he said. And charity, agape, love, these three will continue to abide. These three habitually are there. They are habitually existing. These three. But the greatest of these is agape, charity, the love that God places in the human heart of the believer. Of the believer. Make no mistake, we are not talking about some sort of sentimentality, some emotionalism that anyone can tune into. This is placed by God in the heart of the believer. If a man does not have this, he doesn't belong to God. Check it out in 1 John. Now, we come to the end of chapter 13, and we got maybe a minute or so left. Let's continue in chapter 14. Follow after charity, that is, pursue it. Pursue this agape love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Heard a man say one time, oh yeah, you need to come to, and I was still in school, and this guy had gotten involved in one of these charismatic sideshows, and he was trying to get me to come to one of their meetings, and I was reluctant, and he was talking about these gifts, and he said, well, you know, I speak in tongues. I said, well, do you prophesy? He said, oh, well, that's harder to do. What do you mean it's harder to do? If it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, then your efforts got nothing to do with it, my friend. So let's put it in its proper perspective. It's either according to the Word of God, line by line and precept upon precept, matching exactly, congruently with what the Bible says, or you're dealing with a counterfeit. Are you ready? Hold on to your socks now. You are dealing with a satanic counterfeit. Yeah, you heard me right. I said it's of the devil. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, Christian, back off from it. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. In what sense? The word prophesy, we're talking here in the Greek about somebody who is going to pronounce or preach the Word of God. The best thing in the world a man can do is tell other folks what God says. Desire rather that you may prophesy. You may preach. Well, we must come back to this tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then as we pick this up, because it's vital that you understand what the Bible says.